Chapter 2. After lunch that day, Holmes and I took the train to the country. Then we hired a coach to Helen Stoner's house. During the journey, we continued to talk about this new case. We discussed several theories. Then Holmes said, "I am sure that Dr. Roylott wanted Julia to die because she was getting married. He didn't want to give her £250 of his money every year. And Helen Stoner is getting married soon. So, perhaps Dr. Roylott wants her to die, too." Helen was standing in the garden and waiting for us when we got off the coach. She shook our hands and said, "Dr. Roylott has gone." Then she took us to her own room. Holmes looked around Helen's room and at the wall and said, "Perhaps someone damaged this wall on purpose. He wanted you to move to your sister's room." Next, they went into Julia's room. "Now I sleep here, you know," said Helen. The floorboards in Julia's room and the panel boards on the walls were very old, perhaps as old as the house itself. Holmes examined the room and the iron bars on the window. "No one could break in these two bedrooms through the door," he said, "because they were locked from the inside. And the bars are very strong. No one can break them." Then he suddenly asked, "Why is there a rope here?" He was pointing to a rope hanging over the bed. It was fastened to a hook near an air vent. "That rope is for calling the housekeeper," answered Helen. "The other end of the rope is attached to the bell in her room. My stepfather made this system 2 years ago, but my sister never used it. She didn't need it." Holmes pulled on the rope. It didn't move. "It's a fake bell rope," he said. "That's very strange." "I have never noticed that hook before," said Helen. "And workers made that air vent 2 years ago, at the same time as the bell system." Holmes stood on the bed and looked inside the air vent. "This vent is fake, too. It doesn't open outside. It is just a passageway between this room and Dr. Roylott's room. Now, a fake bell rope and this fake vent. They suggest something," Holmes murmured, as he thought to himself and scratched his head. Next, we went into Dr. Roylott's room. It didn't have much furniture. Holmes looked around carefully and went near a big metal box in the corner. Helen noticed this and said, "Dr. Roylott keeps his important business letters in that box." "Are you sure?" "Maybe he keeps a cat or a snake in it, too," Holmes said. Helen was surprised to hear this. So Holmes pointed to the bowl of milk on top of the metal box. Then he said, "Tonight Dr. Watson and I must stay in your sister's room. First, we will go to the inn across the street and get a room there. When Roylott goes to bed, we will come here." Then he added, "Miss Stoner, you must light a lamp and put it in Julia's window when your stepfather goes to bed. That will be a sign for us to come here. And leave the window open. We'll enter the room through it, and we will wait for the whistle and the cranking metal sound." Helen held Holmes's arm and said, "Now you have seen the three bedrooms. How did my sister die, Mr. Holmes? Please tell me something." "I must do more investigation. I can't say much. Watson and I are going to the inn now. Goodbye, Miss Stoner. Don't be scared, and do as I told you." On the way to the inn, Holmes told me his thoughts. "Helen's life is in great danger. Dr. Roylott probably used the rope and the air vent to kill Julia."
"But only a mouse can go through that small vent," I said.
Holmes didn't say anything. When we went in our room at the inn, Holmes said, "I hope you are ready for some danger, Watson. Tonight, we will catch that man. Helen Stoner must not die." From our room, we could see the windows of the old house. We sat and waited for Helen Stoner's signal. Then, at 11 o'clock, a bright light shone out in front of the middle room's window. "That's our signal. Let's go," Holmes cried out. We quickly left the inn and walked across the lawn. We climbed in the room through the open window. Then Holmes said, "Let's take our pistols out. We may need them." Holmes also had a long cane with him, and he put it on the bed. And he put a box of matches and a candle on the table. He blew out the lamp. Then he sat on the bed, and I sat in a chair. We began to wait. We waited in the dark for about 4 hours. Suddenly, we saw some light coming through the air vent. At the same time, the smell of burning oil filled the room. It was coming from the air vent. "Perhaps Roylott or someone else lit an oil lantern in his room," Holmes whispered. In a moment, we heard a whistle. Holmes stood up from the bed and struck a match immediately. Then he hit the bell rope with his cane very hard. Next, we heard a loud cry of pain. It was a man's voice. "The danger is finished," Holmes said. "Take your pistol and let's go to the next room, to Roylott's room." When we entered Roylott's room, we were both shocked. Roylott was sitting on a chair near a table. He didn't move. He was dead. On the table, there was a lit lantern. The metal box was open, and its lid was on the floor. Roylott's face was turned upwards. His eyes were fixed on the air vent. Around his head, there was a yellow band with brown spots on it. Holmes and I looked at each other in big surprise. "That's the speckled band. It's around Roylott's head," said Holmes. Now we knew the cause of Julia's death. "Be careful," Holmes whispered. "It's a very poisonous kind of snake. Perhaps it came from India. If it bites us, we will die in 10 seconds. He slowly and quietly stood beside Roylott and tightly held the snake on its neck. He threw it into the metal box. He quickly picked up the lid from the floor and closed the metal box tightly. On the train back to London in the morning, Holmes explained all the details. At first, when Helen Stoner mentioned the speckled band, "I thought the gypsies killed Julia," he said. "But when I saw the rope over the bed and the air vent, I had a better theory. And when I saw the bowl of milk, I realized that there was a snake in the box. Roylott knew that it is not possible to find the poison of this snake in the person's body. He put the snake in the air hole every night. It went down the rope onto the bed in Julia's room. And then Roylott whistled to call the snake back. He used milk to train it to return to the box each time. Oh, and the clanging sound came out when he put the metal lid on to close the box every night." "Now I understand," I said. "With your cane, you struck the snake on the rope. It was scared and furious, so it escaped through the air vent and bit Roylott." "Exactly. Well, this is Roylott's end, but the beginning of a new life for Helen Stoner," said Holmes, as he happily lit his pipe.